right, everyone, welcome back to now episode 38 of Fundamentally Sound Podcast. Coming a day late than normal, but we wanted to wait and see what happened in the PK80 championship games to kind of recap them, knowing that at least one of those games would be good. It is your host, as always, Reeks from Barstool Sports, and Ben Bruss. Ben, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm kind of mad that, like, the way the games happened, like, the order, because obviously everyone knows that second game was just so much better than the first, and I bet people got turned off from that first game. Well, and that first game had, like, the matchup in, like, the, you know, two fast-paced teams that are both talented. Like, it had the chance to be a good game, and it was just a complete dud. See, because Michigan State cannot hold on to the basketball, and,
yeah, they can't.
And North Carolina was just so bad.
I mean, I text you and I talked about it on my blog. Like, I just don't think North Carolina is that good of a team. Like, they're a Sweet 16 max team to me, which isn't – I mean, that's not bad. Like, let's set the record there. That's not a bad thing to be if you're a Sweet 16 team. But, like, who can go get their own on this team besides Joel Berry?
With Cam, you know, I had high hopes, but I guess I just kind of watched them play – you know, some bad teams. Obviously, Stanford was supposed to be better this year.
But they played Carolina. Stanford had three guys missing.
Yeah, I mean, like, right. they're like, you know, going into the year, they're supposed to be better. Right. So you look at that game as one that you get excited for, and North Carolina played great. Kenny Williams shot the ball out of his mind. Luke May's been playing like an All-American until he got completely kind of embarrassed by the length and the athleticism of Michigan State.
And that's going to be the problem. They're going to struggle with teams with athletic and talented wings and bigs.
Yeah, I mean, we said that before the year, like, the front line was a question mark, and it's not like that they're going to be bad, because, you know, they're good. Like, they're a good team. They're just not that PK80 championship level good as, like, Michigan State and Florida and Duke showed yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they were the clear fourth team out of the four that were there. And, you know, even, like, watching the PK80, I almost think, like, Gonzaga looked better than Carolina.
You're probably right there, and Jonathan Williams
is really good.
I
mean, because again, the thing I just don't like about Carolina is they just don't, like I said, they have one guy right now. Like, Cam Johnson's hurt, obviously, but they have one guy right now that can go get their own bucket, that can go get his own bucket. That's Berry, which is great, but you need someone, and we've seen in college basketball, you need a good guard, but you need a wing that can just score for you too. And Carolina doesn't have,
like, you know, Joel Berry, like, obviously can get his own bucket.
Right.
But to be honest, he really has not played that well. I mean, he's shooting under 40% from the field and then under 40 from three. So he's not being efficient. He doesn't look
He's still, like, confident. Banged up, too.
Yeah, he just doesn't look like the Joel Berry that I remember that was just, like, stepping in everything with confidence, knew it was going in. Like, the wrist has to be a factor. Like, it absolutely has to be, because just even, like, When he comes down the court, he's not looking to shoot. It's not the fact that he's not shooting. It's the fact that he's not, like, engaging and, like, looking like he should maybe pull this when he used to pull it, you know, last year. So there's definitely something there. Again, when Jaren Jackson was on Luke May.
Yeah, that was, like, just a complete and utter mismatch.
It was just – you would just – that's one of those matchups where you just look at and be like, okay, what is that guy doing?
That's varsity versus JV. Like, that's the guy that gets called up. I don't know what the rules are in Illinois, but in Pennsylvania, like, you can play both JV and varsity. You can only play a max six quarters a night. So, like, sophomore year when I was playing JV and got called up to varsity, like, I had to sit out two quarters of JV every game, because I had – this way I could play all four quarters of varsity. And that's what it looked like. Like, the first time I checked in as a 14-year-old sophomore – 15-year-old sophomore, however old I was, and I'm, like, going up against, like, an 18-year-old senior. And that's what the last night reminded me of.
Just, like, yeah, completely. Like, he tried to do, like, a hook shot one time,
and it
was 2 feet short. Like, it was bad.
I like the one where he tried to go up, like, in the force contact and go up, and the ball just went straight up and straight down.
Yeah, straight up and straight down. Like, didn't even come close to the rim. It was almost like he was shooting at a different basket.
And this was the first time that May was really challenged by a, you know, a true talented and athletic
Travis
big.
Reed, kind of.
Reed Travis?
Oh, yeah, Reed Travis, sorry.
But how much were they matched up one-on-one, too? Like, and that's really it for Stanford.
Not too much. Right. Not too much. And this isn't to say Luke May is going to have a bad year. I think he's still going to have a really good year and
he's just
probably end
that.
Up averaging 14 or 15 a game versus the 21 that he's at now.
Yeah, Luke May is not the guy that looked like the National Player of the Year playing against Bucknell and, Northern Iowa and Stanton and whoever they played in Arkansas. Arkansas was a great game for him, but he's somewhere in between last night and the Arkansas game.
And I like Theo Pinson. I think he's a good college player, but he should never shoot the basketball ever.
He doesn't give you anything offensively, which is fine when you have other guys around him. But this year,
well, he's fine around the rim. I think he was 5 for 10 from the field at one point, and I was like, well, I remember 5 bricks, and then everything else was around the rim. Making floaters and drives because he's got length, he's got athleticism. He's just got to stick to that and
so
not even look to shoot
too. Like he just needs to get out and run.
And I was surprised, you'd think with all the live ball turnovers that Michigan State gave up that a team like UNC and the system like UNC would totally be able to take advantage of that. So
I'll give Michigan State credit. They got back on defense pretty good.
They did.
Jackson,
you know who I was super impressed with?
Who?
Was Nick Ward. Nick Ward was
he must have had
an offseason eating and training program to get him in tip-top shape because he was running up and down like a gazelle, jumping around.
Winded 5 times up and down the court.
Yeah, I mean, he looked awesome. Yeah. I was very impressed
with
him.
He still can't jump, but he definitely is agile and
he can jump.
He can't, though. He's just really good at timing. He times everything very well.
Watch him in the full court. Watch him in the full court getting back on transition defense. He was getting up. I was severely impressed.
But see, I was the flip side when he all of his block shots, he didn't jump.
Well, yeah, in the half court, he didn't even jump.
He didn't jump more than
timed it well.
Yeah, he didn't jump more than 4 inches off the ground.
But when you're that big and have that long arms, that's how you're taught to play defense in the half court.
Oh,
so it really wasn't
a
bad
deal. For sure. I'll give him all the credit in the world for that. He's an excellent timer, but yeah, he's definitely gotten his endurance up and looks a lot more like what Michigan State needs him to. What's weird, though, is Michigan State's best lineup is still, I think, with him, depending on who's playing better, but really him or Jackson not on the court. Bridges just looks uncomfortable at the three.
Yeah, he's not a natural wing. He's better being the four.
He's
a
small
point four,
especially in this day's and the way the game's played right now. He's the ideal four.
Yeah, no, and you were totally right and hit it on the mark with Josh Langford. I had questions about the guard play and would they be able to score? And he was super impressive. Not just the fact that he was hitting shots, but he was hitting a couple off the dribble, creating a couple shots. He's not going to have to create that much with the teammates that he has around him.
Yeah, he can be a catch and shoot guy.
Yeah, that's all he's really going to have to do. And
that
he proved he can do that.
If they come set up, the other thing that they can do, and they did it a couple times yesterday, and it looked pretty good, is they would they'd set up. They'd set up a high ball screen for him and let him come off the dribble and shoot there. So, offensively, they're still a mess with turnovers, though, man. And it's weird to see.
It was a shit show. I don't think it's fixable as the problem.
No, because it's everybody.
That's what I'm saying. It's a fundamental problem with each and every player. And I don't know how you can fix that during the year. You kind of are who you are as a player. And if you start limiting them, then they start making mistakes that hurt your team because they're not playing with, aggressiveness.
Tum-Tum Naren, who should be the guy that you can kind of come off the bench, feel safe, we're going 2-point guard set with him and Winston. He's been turning it over every year since he's been there. Cassius Winston turns it over at an incredible rate. Even the bigs, Miles Bridges gets careless with the ball. Nick Ward throws it away.
Yeah, Miles Bridges averages more turnovers than assists.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not shocking just the way his game is, but it's not it's still a stat you don't want to see.
Not at all.
I mean that more just because he looks to attack and he looks to score. He's not necessarily looking to create for others. But
is it fair to say that if they don't clean that up, that could keep them out of the Final Four?
Oh, 100%. I've been saying that for for the whole season now is.
Well, like, or do they prove to us that, you know, even against a Sweet 16 caliber team, their length and athleticism can make up for it. Obviously, it's not a good recipe for success.
I mean, it also depends who they're playing. Like they're a nightmare matchup for North Carolina. Like they're going to be
yeah, right
Carolina
now with no size. Well, and that's why it's probably why Roy Williams was 7-1 against Izzo is because he's usually this is not very like Carolina to have the right. undersized, you know, team that they had yeah. today.
It's usually the opposite way around. Where Carolina is just running big after big after big on you. But really, so, yeah, you know, I think Michigan State's obviously a title contender, a Final Four contender, but I just don't trust a team that constantly turns the ball over when it comes to a six-game win-in-advance scenario.
Yeah, it's not like in that, like, if I'm thinking back to, was it Middle Tennessee State?
That, yeah, in the 2-15 game, yeah.
Yeah, obviously they shot the shit out of the ball, but I also remember them having a lot of live ball turnovers then too.
Yeah, like, I mean it's been like a 5-year problem for them.
And it's weird because you think, you know, with Izzo and the way he, you know, demands
discipline.
X, Y, and Z yeah. out of his players, like that there's still that problem. And especially because they're like they're senior led, but again, I don't think it's going to change.
No, it's
but they're obviously.
They're going to be better than what they were last year. They were like 308th last year. They'll be like 250th this year in turnover.
Yeah, rate. They're obviously still the most talented and probably the best team in the Big Ten.
The Big Ten stinks.
The Big Ten stinks. Like, hang on, I take that back. You might have to erase that.
no, the Big Ten stinks. Like it's
the Big Ten.
It's fair
the Big
to say.
Ten doesn't stink. Let me rephrase that.
They
the Big
stink
Ten
for
the
major
Big Ten
conference.
Has stunk. They have stunk right now. They have definitely stunk right now. But that being said, if Maryland can pull this off, if Wisconsin can somehow win, I'm not saying because if they win the Big Ten ACC challenge that like that they won't that they'll be like the greatest conference in the world. I'm just saying they need some quality wins against some good teams right now, and there are some opportunities.
Oh yeah,
which we'll get into a little later.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny when people are like, "It's November. Why are you saying it?" It's like, well, you kind of have to say this stuff in November because this is when the non-conference games are. And the Big Ten just keeps losing these non-conference games. Now, luckily, Michigan State won yesterday, but
like you judge your when you get into conference games, conference against other power conferences is kind of like how you weigh, you know, how important are you know the teams that you're playing.
Right. Like I don't judge it by the NCAA tournament because I don't think the SEC was the best conference in America last year, and they had three teams in the Elite Eight. So, I'm gonna get frustrated here because I'm. On a live bet of Maryland money line, and they're just choking this game away. But the game of the
uh-oh.
Night.
This is a good game. I mean, obviously this has been
this
ugly, but
yeah, this game's not good.
It's been ugly, but like at least it's like coming down
it's close,
to the wire.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask.
No,
my gosh, Bruno Fernando's a beast.
Bruno Fernando tries to murder everybody. I'd much rather blowout. I want to be right and win money.
Well, of course,
I have Maryland
have
plus
money 140. I did go on VSIN yesterday, and I gave all the listeners over 162. There was no way with Florida's pace and how they've been playing and the way Duke had the front court matchup against Florida. That was not going over 162. Proud of myself there.
I was on the over as well that I had on Sports Action app. But that game was, I think, the best game of the year. When you look at there's great flow to the game. The refs really stayed out of it, especially in the first half. They let them get up and down the court. There weren't the stoppages. It was
and we're obviously going to stay on this game, but I'm going to say like even just watching this Maryland Syracuse game, the refs ruined it from the start. All the loose ball fouls, all the ticky tack, like no flow, no rhythm. It's just like it just sets the tone for a crappy game.
Yep.
But agree. The refs let them play. The players played. There was rhythm. There was speed. There was shooting.
And
there
talent.
Was scoring down low.
Like those were two top 10 teams, and that's what made it better. You know, I felt like there was more flow, and it was a little bit. It was a cleaner game. It was a very clean game, especially compared to like the Michigan State Duke game. Like that was a great game, and even Florida Gonzaga was a great game. But this game just kind of had the everything in the making. And I'll tell you what, man. Marvin Bagley is a motherfucker, and I mean that as the biggest compliment ever.
Dude, what the hell? That kid is like supposed to be in high school. Could you imagine? He's the best player in the country.
So we talk about that. Could you imagine being the sophomore on varsity and you walk into the gym and you get switched on to Marvin Bagley?
It's not fair. Like, I'm actually like happy for the kids that he would have murdered in high school.
He would have blocked a shot completely out of the other side of the court.
He would have had a triple-double easily. Could have averaged a triple-double if he really wanted to
and
played every second.
If he played in a half and played his ass off for a half of high school basketball, he'd average a triple-double.
I mean, unreal. I'm super impressed with him. Like, I'm no draft guru expert, but like, if he's not drafted one or two, these GMs are absolutely insane.
I feel really good saying I had him number one in the preseason.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. His ability to like finish or above the rim, around the rim, and have like perimeter skills. Like, it's not the fact like that he can like do both. It's how he does both, how fluid he is, how he moves so well.
He has some of the best footwork I've seen for
he moves so well.
And like he's breaking out Euro steps and he's 6'11".
I've never seen anything. He's like, he's wiry strong too, if that makes sense. You know, he's got like
an excellent jumper. He goes, gets a board. And then it's like his second jump is like before people are like done their first.
Well, we have officially just slobbed his knob right now. I guess it's well deserved.
I put it out today. Like and it's fair to do too, because it's a fluid race, like National Player of the Year right now. He's the favorite. Like it's the same thing with like top 25 voting. It's very fluid and it's irrelevant right now, but it's also kind of like the barometer of, okay, well, here's who's kind of in the lead right now. He's in the lead for National Player of the Year right now.
Dude, and then let's just talk about some impressions this game and I guess the PK-80. How about frickin' Jalen Hudson?
Yeah.
What the hell? The kid averaged 8 points a game at Virginia Tech, and now he's averaging like 23 and shooting like 60% from three.
How much
and every shot he puts up,
Mike,
I think,
White
is going in.
If you're a guard recruit or a wing recruit, how much do you want to go play for Mike White? Right,
I want to play for Florida. I was so mad watching that game. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like basketball heaven.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just go. And and Billis made the correct point last night of, it's not bad shots. They just go in a hurry.
They go in a hurry and they practice it. So like there's expectations that they're obviously going to take some bad shots when you play that fast. But when you play that fast in practice and you play with each other, you get good at like figuring out, you know, what is the rhythm that you're going to play with.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, like the crazy thing is, I don't remember bad shots last night.
No, I don't either. And again, I'm extremely jealous of the way they play. And Mike White seems so cool on the sideline.
Yep. And he's got good recruits coming in next year. Like, he's a hell of a coach. And I'll tell you what, Chris Chioza is one of the best guards in the country.
Yeah, like, Vicini and you were both tweeting about it. I replied to Vicini. I was like, that guy's a blur.
Yeah.
And somehow stays under control.
Yeah, I mean, look at the shot he hit against Wisconsin. Like, to get up in the court fast.
Yeah, hang on. That's what I was going with. Like, it's too soon, but obviously we have to talk about and really freaking good.
Yeah. Like, I love his game. He's good defensively. You know, you wish he was a little bit taller, but he's still, like, a triple-double threat. Like, he goes out and gets rebounds. He threw up 13-7-6 yesterday.
Right on average. He's 13-6 and 6 going into the game. That's crazy. Yeah.
I'm a big, big Florida fan this year. And you know, so what else did you take away from the PK-80? I'll go with my thoughts after you, but what else did you have impression wise?
Well, first things first, I'm kind of sad like that they're not doing a PK-81, 82, 83 or just like
something's
creating
gonna happen.
A tournament, not even calling it PK-80, like call it something else and just bring the Nike teams in and let's have some fun.
I mean, it's going to happen. I don't think they'll be able to do it next year because Fields already set, but you'll see this become a thing because there's so
much feedback. Like, it's almost like the AAU circuit, how they have like the brands tournaments.
Yeah.
This could happen for Thanksgiving now.
See, I want them to go to Christmas. Play right there before conference season starts, unless you're the Big Ten.
Yeah, I was going to say that wouldn't work for the Big Ten now.
But it could, because, you know, I mean, they're playing non-con. They open up this weekend, then they play a bunch of non-conference games.
Look, what better chance to get a signature win than playing in that, gaining experience? You know, like Texas. Texas lost two games, but I think Texas is a pretty good team.
Yeah, it worries me that they can't shoot, and you know their offense is a little shaky. But I'll tell you what. I was tweeting about this today. Trae Young is a lot of fun to watch from Oklahoma, sticking in the Big 12. I compared him to Randolph Childress, who is my all-time favorite player. They're the same size. Their stats from Trae Young right now to Childress' senior year when he was an All-American and had the run in the ACC, they're nearly identical. Like, from shooting percentages to points to rebounds to assists to turnovers, like, they are, like, the same player. And he was drawing comparisons like Curry and Jimmer and everything like that because he dropped 43 against Oregon. But man, is he good!
Yeah, I didn't catch OU. I caught a fair amount of teams. Like I feel like during the holiday weekend, obviously I was working Friday night for BTN and then Saturday night stuff. So thankful for the two TV system because when I'm home, like it's so much easier to just check out game after game after game after game. Ohio State. Oh, we could talk about that. That's an impression. How about that blow loss to Butler? Did you see it?
Yeah. I was watching that game yesterday on TV1, actually. And
you had them on TV1. They were TV2, and I switched them to TV1 at the end when Butler came back.
Yeah, I had them on TV1. I mean, credit to Butler. They hung around, and then
I mean, you got to credit Butler, but what was Ohio State doing? It's like they were uninterested. It was really weird.
Yeah. Oh, that you big knew balls that three by Kevin Herter was going in.
Big balls. Family cheering section going nuts.
I'm trying to think. Oregon, I think they'll be fine. I know they didn't look great, but I think they'll be fine.
I want to talk about some impressions, even outside of the PK80.
Arizona State.
Yeah. This is exactly what I was going to next.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Trey Holder,
Shannon Evans. Like, there are not many people who are going to beat Arizona State when they shoot the way they did against Xavier in the second half. Like, that is one of the best shooting performances I've seen from a team. I don't care who you are. Like, Xavier was playing.
Almost blew that game.
Xavier's defense wasn't even that bad. Like, Arizona State was just playing out of their mind. Like, I credit Arizona State for that 100%. Like, they're a good, good team. And they're only going to get better. And, yeah, I think they are by far the surprise of the year. I think they're a little bit like Wake Forest last year, where they kind of come out of nowhere. Really, really good offensive team. I think they're a little bit better than Wake Forest was last year. They also get to play in a little easier conference, so it's not apples to apples or whatever, but they kind of remind me of Wake Forest last year in the sense of like, hey, we'll go get 100 on anybody in the world right now.
Did they jump into the top 25?
Yes, and they were. I had them at 15 on mine.
15.
Yeah, I put them above Xavier. I had Xavier at 16.
Tennessee didn't crack the top 25.
No.
They were okay. Crazy. Arizona fell out, very deserving. Let's talk about Arizona for a second. Purdue. What a nightmare. Is that all FBI stuff just like in the background just messing with them?
I think that's part of the conversation. I think it's fair to have that conversation because, again, you're talking about young kids. Like, you're still talking about 18 to 22 year old kids. Think about when you were 18 to 22. How easy is it? Like, I mean, all right, you played. Did you ever have just like that bad day, whether it was with, the girl you were dating or something like that, or you're worried about a test or something like that, and it's just in your head the entire time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, freshman and even a little bit of sophomore year, like junior and senior year, when that shit was going on, like I was fine. You know, it doesn't affect right. you as much because you grow up. But when you're right away dealing with stuff like that, and you know, these are the kids' lives at stake, like getting busted, eligibility,
yep.
you know, future draft positions,
and then just future regular life. Like,
no, I agree. I'm just saying, like that's a huge deal.
I know, and I'm saying on top of that, throw in just the regular problems.
Got a shout out to you. Not that I agree with you necessarily, but you kind of hit the ball. You did kind of hit the ball on Purdue.
Yeah.
Um,
I, you know, it's kind of what I again, I don't think they're as bad as they looked. I don't think they're, you know, I still think they're a top 40 team when it's all said and done. But Final Four, I don't see it. Like, they just struggle against teams that are very athletic. And, like, Tennessee just they just threw the athletes.
What is that word? Out-athleted them.
Yeah, like, there's not a correct word for it. Like, out-athleticized them.
They were more athletic, but yeah. I like out-athleted them much better.
But that's what they did. Like, they just bodied up Vince Edwards. They just threw on the guards. And that's been Purdue's calling card for a while now is, okay, if when we play a bunch of athletes, we're in a little bit of trouble here. Now, they never should have lost to Western. To me, that's the embarrassing loss, not necessarily losing to Tennessee.
Yeah, because Tennessee's a decent team, yeah, but to lose to Western. But at least they did crush Arizona, because Arizona's going to end up being a good team. You know, it's going to be a good resume-building win, like, later on. Yeah. They're probably not going to need it, obviously. But, again, still, I'm not hitting the panic button if I'm a Purdue fan. They have a ton of talent. They have a lot of pieces that came back.
No, I'm just not but yelling
again, at their top and with who they play in the Big Ten, they're not going to struggle with many of those teams, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, because the Big Ten, you're not throwing out a bunch of athletes.
Yeah, no, it's the Big Ten right now.
Right, like, they're going to be fine against Northwestern. They're going to be fine against Wisconsin. They're going to be fine against, you know, Maryland would be an interesting matchup for them.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa's got size and athleticism. That would be a fun matchup, actually, watching Purdue and Iowa.
Iowa stinks, though.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Iowa may stink right now, but when they get Bear back, I think they'll get better.
Yeah.
He's their glue guy. He helps the team win, and every team's got that guy, and he's that guy for them.
Maybe. I still think losing, like, Peter Jock is just so important, and that wasn't talked about enough. That was not a subtraction by – or addition by subtraction situation.
It proven to be the truth so far.
What about, you know, Baylor and Creighton? You know, they've been impressive. I think Creighton's a really good team. A team that has been not a surprise but has looked the part is Virginia. Now, that may change when we get done recording this because they play Wisconsin.
I was just going to say right now before the game's about to start, give a prediction.
Oh, I mean, I think Virginia kicks their ass.
So you got them covering the 8.5?
Yes. I don't see how Wisconsin scores against Virginia's pack line.
Well, we couldn't score. This is a funny story that I'm sure a lot of our listeners will actually think is kind of unique. So I was watching Sunday Night Football yesterday with Josh Gosser, and we were talking about Virginia, obviously, because the Badgers play them, and we played Virginia last at Virginia my senior year in 2014. They had four pros, Justin Anderson, Malcolm Brogdon, Joe Harris, and whatever Toby's first name is.
Mike.
We beat them 48-38 in an ugly grind fest that was amazing to play, and I absolutely loved that game. But we shot 28% from the field. When do you think the last time a team shot 28% from the field and beat a top 25 opponent by double?
You cut out there. I lost you for a second.
Dang it. I cut out and I didn't hear you.
Yeah, you cut out right when you said, when's the last time you saw a team shoot 28%?
Yeah, when's the last time you saw a team shoot 28%, win by double digits against a top 25 opponent on the road with four pros? I mean, it's just that it's crazy to win by double digits shooting 28%. They shot 22% with that talent. So
yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's just the style of play and the pace of play. I hope. I just have a weird feeling that Wisconsin will win this one.
See, I don't
weird
so.
Feeling. Not saying it's smart. Like,
sure,
if I was betting,
sure.
If I was betting, I would bet Virginia to cover. Their 4-1 against the spread. They've been really impressive so far this year. Even on the offensive end, I've been impressed. But just a weird feeling that they could win this game. That's
yeah,
all I got.
What I talked about was, oh, wonderful. What a terrible turnover by Maryland.
What a shitty turnover.
Nice possession. Goddamn idiots.
I like – see, this is fun. Actually, one Twitter troll maybe tweeted that we talk too much about live stuff going on. But that is good. That is good podcast.
Yeah, I'm sitting on a Maryland live line, a plus 140.
To hear you get mad because you're going to lose a bet live on our podcast.
That is just so frustrating. Like, that's just such bad offense. Like, it's a 2-point game. You waste 20 seconds and the ball doesn't move from one side of the floor to the other and doesn't get into the paint. Like, give me a break. That's junior high shit. That's so bad. That's so bad. Like, this zone is not that impressive to where you can't move the ball from one side to another. Like, that's just so bad. But, and again, this is about to be another bad loss for the Big Ten.
Yep, another loss for the Big Ten. Yeah,
Big Ten's
awful. Oh my gosh.
They're not even going to cover.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're not even going to cover.
That's terrible. Another loss. Chalk it up for the Big Ten. What else we got? So I got my weird feeling. Wisconsin 65, Virginia 59 in a weird type way. Kind of like what the Badgers did at Syracuse 2 years ago.
I'm gonna go Wisconsin or Virginia 63, Wisconsin 48.
And then my brain says Virginia 72, Wisconsin like 56, 55.
That'd be too many points. We want under.
No, Virginia can put it up.
I know, but I bet the under in that game.
Virginia was on pace for 100, and somehow the game stayed under 124 the other day against Vandy.
The team we haven't talked about yet. Texas A&M.
A&M's good.
They're a Final Four caliber good.
They're athletic. They have some scorers. Dwayne Wilson, the transfer from Marquette's been pretty impressive, actually.
And they just got their point guard, J.J. Caldwell, who sat out all, but he's played now the last three games after serving a suspension. That's a big three. That should at least push.
What'd you get it at?
I bet Maryland money line, but I gave out Maryland plus three.
Ah.
And I just like being right too, but, they got Caldwell back, you know, they can shoot the ball. They have NBA pros or NBA players in the post. Billy Kennedy's a really good coach, and I'll tell you what, that's a Final Four, that's Final Four caliber. That's national title caliber, but the same problem exists for A&M that it does with Michigan State is they can't take care of the ball. Like they're a big time turnover prone team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there.
You hope that changes with Wilson and Caldwell now. You know, Caldwell now playing, but we'll see. I mean, but I'll tell you what, from a slate of winning at USC and beating West Virginia in Germany and Penn State on a neutral court, they might have the best resume so far in college basketball.
They do. I think they beat four Power Five schools already.
Yeah, and maybe Duke because they have the wins over Florida and Michigan State. I mean those are two better wins.
Those are huge wins compared to four average size wins. Marquette down 42-37 Eastern Illinois in the second half.
That's not good.
Anif Cheatham, do you see? He left the program today. So weird stuff going on in Marquette right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you hope everything's fine. They just had personal reasons. It didn't seem like a nasty breakout. He put out an Instagram post thanking Marquette. You know, you haven't seen reports or anything like that, so you just hope everything's well from a personal standpoint for the guy.
Yep. Gosh.
Maryland is so dumb.
That is bad.
Like, how do you get beat deep there?
I just hope a lot of our listeners watch this game and can put themselves back in the game and be like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Oh, that's what they were talking about. Oh, that's what they were talking about.
Speaking of games, the ACC.
Let's preview. Challenge. We're going to keep this one kind of short. We're already at 40-ish minutes anyway, which time flies. It's crazy.
We're only at 30, 35.
But either way, going to keep it short for me because I need to eat food
and watch the Badgers. What's the game this week? Now, we're not talking weekend, just talking during the week. What game during this week are you most looking forward to seeing?
I am most looking forward to Minnesota, Miami, maybe? Okay. No. Okay. I mean, yes and no. Like, I don't want to pick that one as, like, my main game, but I'm excited to see Minnesota. I mean,
there's no reason not to. They're two top 10 teams.
No, yes, I agree. We didn't even hit on Alabama and Minnesota.
Yeah,
what a shit show.
It's been talked about enough. And
yeah, no, I agree. I'm just saying, like, we didn't even hit on that.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, they fouled.
Yep, with 0.7 seconds to go.
RIP minus three or plus three.
Yep. yep.
Gotta love it. Michigan State, Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, that's –
Michigan State, Notre Dame.
I think that's – and that's gonna be an intriguing one to watch because, again, Notre Dame, it's not like they're a big team, but they play pretty well against big teams.
Yeah, they have so far. Obviously, Bonzi's 7'2 wingspan and a 6'6 frame. Who does Xavier play? Xavier plays the top 25 team, too.
Yeah, I'm going to the game tomorrow. They play Baylor.
They play Baylor. Got it. Yeah,
they play Baylor tomorrow on Tuesday. I'll be at that game. And then they play Cincinnati on Saturday. So it's a big
game. Yeah, I'm excited to see Cincinnati play Xavier because Cincinnati still hasn't played anyone this year. They've obviously taken care of business, but I want to see how they fare against a quality opponent because they've looked good against the shitty teams, and I think they just have so much potential.
Right.
I was kind of rough on them in the offseason, but I think they're solid.
The Michigan State Notre Dame game is going to be absolutely fascinating to me. You have Notre Dame coming off the Maui, and I'll tell you what, like Farrell can give Winston some problems.
No, Farrell is so dynamic, and like they're two different players. I feel like he could give Winston some problems, like on the offensive end. Like I don't know how they'll be able to stop him because he's so dynamic and he can make so many plays for others.
Not only that, but you know, who's guarding Bonzi Colson, and who's Bonzi Colson guarding?
I feel like Jaren Jackson's going to guard Bonzi. Do what he did to Luke May.
I feel like Bonzi Colson's going to absolutely destroy that matchup.
Just because he's so experienced.
That and he's...
And savvy around the rim.
That
and he'll get him in foul trouble if he's on him.
That and he's better than Luke May because he's a lot more polished on the inside. Like he... And he is a good wing. Like I think people forget like Bonzi Colson's wingspan's like 7'1", 7'2". So while he looks weird and is short, he can really
He's got a legit 7'2".
Right. So like he can shoot at different angles, which is really unique to watch. Like I might show that in film. Like when you watch his shot release on certain post moves, like it's you know how people talk about like Phillip Rivers how he throws it always at weird angles and like or Stafford how Stafford like, has all these different angles.
The wrist slinger.
Yeah, that's kind of how reminds me of Colson because he'll like. He'll do a little hook. He's like the baby hook. He'll scoop. He'll push. Like he has a little bit of everything, and it's a lot due to his wingspan. But I'll tell you what, man, that offense though, that's going to give Michigan State some problems. And if they defend the way they did against Wichita State, Notre Dame's a Final Four team.
Yet to say that on Notre Dame, but
if they defend like they did against Wichita State, because their offense will be there.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I don't know. I struggle with the size or not.
Yeah, I just think that they're so used to playing with size or against size, and they do have good size. Like their wings have good size. It's just they don't have that traditional post guy. Like you know, their best lineup is when Bonzi Colson's at the post. Wow, what a take by Kyle guy. You know, they have the tradition. They just don't have the traditional post. Like when you think of like four out, one in, you think of, you know, a Marvin Bagley or a Wendell Carter or someone like that. Sitting there and being your traditional post player. Miami, Minnesota, that's going to be a good game because those are two teams that could really change. Whoever wins that, I think the public perception of them will really change.
Well, I mean, maybe for Miami, I feel like the public perception for Minnesota is pretty good right now.
I still feel it's a little bit of, yeah, but how good are they type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, who's their top 10 or top 5 win? No, I agree. And I agree now that you say that.
Miami, like, they haven't played that big name opponent yet to get it on the resume. So if they go and beat Minnesota, it's like, huh, all right, well, I think we have a real race for the second best team in the ACC.
My three plays against the spread: Purdue, Xavier, and Minnesota.
Do you have the spreads up in front of you?
I don't. I know what, like, they're all three going to be favored at home against teams that are ranked higher than them in the standings. So mark my words, that will go at least 2-1. And you can at me if it doesn't.
I'm very curious to see that Louisville-Purdue game. I think Purdue wins that game.
That's why they'll probably cover.
Yes, I agree. I'm just very curious to see it because of what does Louisville's offense look like? And then on the flip side, can their defense give Purdue problems? Because, again, you're throwing a bunch of athletes out there.
Yeah, they are, but it's a different team at home too, though. Purdue at Mackey is a completely different ball game.
It's at Mackey. They're coming off the Arizona win. That place should be fired up. But I'll tell you what. Here's the other thing. I'm curious to see it happens. Let's say Louisville jumps out to like a 26-12 lead. How does Purdue react? How does that building react? You know what I'm
saying?
That's
not going to happen. I'm just
throwing out hypotheticals. Like,
I know you are. I
kind of want to see that happen just because I want to see how this team responds to that.
I have a feeling some doubt would creep in their minds to see if they think they're actually legit.
Right, and that's what I want to see.
I kind of want to see it too, but I really don't because I'm also kind of high on Purdue and I just told everyone to bet them.
right. But, you know, to me,
and
that's a legit
ultimately
question.
At the end of the day, let's put it like a wager on Purdue over under. Not like, so this is going to be a weird over under. How about, will they make it past the round of 32?
I mean, that's so hard to tell without seeing.
No, I mean, come on, it's somewhat fair. I mean,
yeah, but it's all gonna be based on matchups.
In your opinion, will they make the Sweet 16?
I mean,
oh come on, you can't have them in the top 40 in that now and then, like, think all of a sudden that you can like say yes.
I mean, I can absolutely have them in the top 40 and think they can still make a Sweet 16 because it's all gonna depend on the matchup. I don't think they're one of the 16 best teams in the country, but. So, I guess I'll say no because I don't think they're one of the 16 best teams in the country, but I have the right to change that when I see the matchups.
Fair enough. I just wanted you to kind of stick with, like, I just wanted you to take a bold take and just say no so I could be on the yes and then, like, win that battle.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, if you're asking me, that's one of the weird questions. It's like, are they one of the 16 best teams in the country? No. Can they make a Sweet 16? Absolutely. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the Sweet 16.
No, I hear you. It's all about matchups in that one-and-done tournament.
So, yeah, that's going to be a weird one. Can Michigan beat North Carolina?
Where's it at?
I believe it's at North Carolina.
Then no.
Interesting. I agree with you. I think North Carolina wins that game. I'm curious to see how they handle Charles Matthews. Because he's kind of turned into something. He's kind of turned into something for him now.
Yeah, that's kind of a like, no one can, like, I'm trying to think of UNC's starting five right now. I don't really know a matchup that
they'll throw Pinson on him.
I just think he's better than Pinson and, like, more athletic and stronger. He's like a better Pinson.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, they'll throw Pinson on him.
I'm saying he's a better Pinson that he'll end up, like, owning that matchup. Also, just UNC playing at home against that Michigan team that I haven't been overly impressed with. I just don't see them being able to go in there and win.
Right. I think the one thing that's – while Mo Wagner is an excellent player, he's like kind of the perfect matchup for Luke May.
He is battle of the 2-4 stretch four whiteys that can kind of play inside.
Right. I mean, Wagner is a little bit better at playing inside and can take guys off the dribble better than May. But that's kind of remind me of that one here. ACC Big Ten a little underwhelming this year because like
Indiana, very underwhelming
because Indiana's down. Like Duke Indiana should be a sexy matchup.
Yeah, and Indiana's gonna get absolutely ran.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean Michigan North Carolina that should be a little bit better. But again, both Michigan hasn't looked the part. North Carolina has some question marks. Clemson Ohio State that's always like an in between type game. Penn State, North Carolina State, I'm intrigued for that just because of Penn State, because I think they can be a tournament team. Northwestern, Georgia Tech, same type of thing, just kind of like a blah type feeling to that game.
Yeah, there should be good matchups, but they're just not this year because the Big Ten's down.
Yeah, it really is.
But at least we get Minnesota, Miami, and then Michigan State, Notre Dame. Those will be the two best games out of this tournament, out of this challenge.
Yeah, and then so we'll record something before the weekend, just because this weekend slate of games is absolutely loaded. When you look at Saturday, you have Wichita State, Baylor, Cincinnati, Xavier, USC, SMU, Providence, Rhode Island. You have Big Ten starting. You have Kansas, Syracuse. You have Villanova, St. Joe's. You have Arizona, UNLV. That's all Saturday. And Sunday, you have Seton Hall, Louisville, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, Maryland, Illinois, Northwestern, Purdue. So we'll put something out before the weekend because that's a loaded weekend slate of games. So I'm looking forward to that. Anything else that comes to mind from the holiday week that you need to get out there?
I think we touched it all pretty good. Yeah, that's all I got, man.
All right, sounds good. So follow the show, Fundamentally SD, on Twitter. On Instagram, December 16th, we're at Queen City Exchange. Mark it down because that is fastly approaching, quickly approaching, and it is Ben and I there in person. And
fastly out athleticed.
Yeah, that was
out athleted.
That was bad.
We're killing it today.
there's going to be some drink specials. There are going to be TVs on with all the games. We're going to be doing the show leading up to tip off where. Cincinnati's at UCLA, Kentucky's hosting Virginia Tech, and Xavier's a home game. I forget off the top of my head. I know it's a mid-major. And then there are other games that day that'll be on all day. So make sure you come check that out. Let us know if you're coming. There's also going to be Papa Shot, which there's a 100% chance for us tonight to get drunk and start playing that, probably throwing money against people on it. So let us know if you're coming to that show. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Let's crack the top 100 for, it's the season, right? We deserve to be in the top 100. I think that's fair.
That's very fair.
So let's crack the top 100. That's our goal to you. We crack the top 100. You'll for sure get another episode this week. And maybe we'll do a fan episode. Maybe we'll do a whole mailbag episode if we crack the top 100.
Maybe even bring a fan on. Who knows?
We'll get nuts. We'll get nuts with it. As always, thanks for listening. Like we said, rate, review, subscribe. Let's crack the top 100. We'll be back later this week for a show for the weekend. Talk to everybody later.